that he came about a month ago, four or five weeks ago, he came out and said he was going to do this. And recently, ESPN, the sports network, said they're going to give Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner, the Arthur Ashe Courage Award for being so brave and being a hero. A lot of people responded with anger in this past week, posting pictures online and on social media of soldiers who've lost limbs, military men and women, people who fight crime, police officers, and people who are real heroes. And people are very angry that ESPN would select a man who's saying he's becoming a woman to be their hero. But in our world, you need to understand, Bruce Jenner is being celebrated for his boldness and his courage as an athlete. And then we compare that to someone like Tim Tebow, who bows on the sideline in prayer and is ridiculed for pushing it in America's face. He bows on a sideline, and they always had that Tebow pose. Remember him bowing down with his hand up to his head. And he was praying to his Savior, and our world attacked him. The media said, you know, he's such a terrible man. You don't push that on someone. Bruce Jenner comes out, and he's celebrated as a hero. I had no idea when I said that on Sunday that this week was going to come out like it did. Monday evening, Cheryl was in the living room, and she called me out, and she had her phone in her hand, and she said, "Do you know who this woman is?" And I looked, and it was a pretty attractive woman. I said, "No, should I?" And she said, "Yes, it's Bruce Jenner, now wants to be known as Caitlyn Jenner." I believe the timing of this message is certainly from the Lord, because I think we need to understand what's happening. Over the years of 31 plus years of ministry, I was trying to think at least two women who've come to me, my own wife, I've never even told her this. I've had at least two women come to me privately and ask me as a pastor, letting me know that their husband dressed in their clothes often and wasn't really transgender, but they often dressed in women's clothes, and they wanted to know if that was appropriate or if it was proper or if it was right. And I always tell them the same thing. We're going to look at the same verse this morning. Matter of fact, it's in your notes. But I always looked at that as a private conversation. Like I said, I never even told my wife that I even had those conversations, let alone who the people were who came to me. But it's moved from a private conversation in a pastor's office now to national news, and it's being celebrated. I want you to understand right from the start what I hope to accomplish by taking on this subject. If the national media were here covering this, and I had put on Facebook that I was going to speak on this and had a lot of responses, a lot of people made some comments. Yesterday I went to a graduation party of one of the teens from a different church, and some parents came up to me and said, "That's one of the things our kids like about you in youth group, is that you're not afraid to talk about things that are difficult." But that's from Christians. You know, if the national media were here and they were to ask me what I thought about this, I could look in the camera and I could say something like, "Transitioning is an abomination to God. It's a disgusting trend in our culture. It perverts what God has designed. It's wrong. It's a sin." And that would be very appropriate and very correct answer. But I don't want us to leave this morning just knowing that transitioning is wrong. I want us to be prepared with a reply that people will listen to, that people can hear from us. And I asked myself as I prepared on this week, and I prayed a lot that I would handle it properly, I asked myself, how would Jesus respond to this topic if he were walking the earth today? I don't think he would stand up in front of the national media, bang the podium and say it's a perversion, it's an abomination to my word, I hate it. I think he would begin with why he came to the earth to begin with, and that was not to transition a man into a woman, but to transform our lives. And I told my wife, again, 3 weeks ago or more, that this is what I was looking at, and I wrote down some things that I knew about transitioning. I've done some more research on it. And then things that I knew about transforming. It was just kind of neat to see how we can look at that this morning. So in your notes, we're going to look at that. We're going to look at several things under transitioning. You have some places you need to fill in. with this. But again, understand my heart is to teach us not to hate the sin, but to have a ready reply that we can come across in a loving, non-judgmental, yet standing on God's word manner. You need to understand that transitioning is a decision by an individual to change their sexual identity. All right, if a man, Bruce Jenner, wants to go from being a man, he wants to be a woman. So they move into the lifestyle, they move into the appearance, they move into the dress, they move into the mannerisms, they move into the behavior of that new sex. But there's some things that I knew about it and some things that I found out, and these are very obvious things. The first one in transitioning is I decide that I'm going to change. Bruce Jenner has said that he felt this way for 50-plus years, and I knew I needed to change. Second thing is he said, I know I was born wrong. And I've heard other transgenders, whether they've gone from man to woman or woman to man, say, I knew I was born in the wrong body. Somewhere along the line, and they don't all come out and say this, but this is what they're saying, whether they say it with their words or what they're saying with their intent, is that God made a mistake. God designed me probably as a woman, but somehow I was born as a man, and there was a mistake made somewhere, and ever since I was born, I knew I was in the wrong body. They're saying that God made a mistake. Number three is, I deserve to be happy. I deserve to be happy. That's the reason for life. And if you've read anything, and by the way, I had pictures I thought of putting up, and I didn't want to make this about Bruce Jenner, okay? If you haven't seen the pictures, I mean, it's obviously drastic changes from when he won his Olympic gold medal in 1976 to what he appears, or the picture he's going to appear on Vanity Fair sometime in the next couple weeks. But he said, I deserve to be happy. I've been living this way too long incorrectly. I've been wrong. The next one is it may physically, or may involve physically altering the body I was born with. Now, obviously, he has done that. If you looked at him now, you wouldn't recognize him as being a man. But he spent, I have no idea how much money, changing his face, taking shots, developing breasts. And there was debate whether he's had anything removed or not. I read any story. I don't really care about what he's done. But there are people who add parts and take away parts that God gave them with, and they were born with. Another misconception here, and this is just in your notes, is God wants me to be happy. That's what God's desire for all of us is God wants me to be happy. In fact, if you saw any parts of the interview with Diane Sawyer, Bruce Jenner said, this is why I believe I was born. I believe this is God's calling in my life to bring light to this very sensitive subject. And I feel this is what my life journey is all about. I know God wants me to be happy. And then the last thing, there's more I'm sure that I could have put up here, but this only affects me, no one else. Everything about this choice is me. It's about my feelings. It's about my choice. It's about my happiness. It's about my life. And as Bruce Jenner said, he said, I've lived 50 years, over 50 years. He's 65. So he said, for over 50 years, I've known that I was to be a woman. And he said, I've lived my life for everyone else. I'm going to begin to live for myself. Folks, if you could have seen any of the replays or interviews with his family, you know it didn't just affect him. You see, the whole world's argument is this whole thought process of me first. Life is what I get out of it, not what I put into it. I make my own decisions. I'm not accountable to anyone for anything at all. I don't have to answer to anyone for what I decide to do. The other night, I spoke at a baccalaureate for Williamson High School, and I challenged the graduates with that is to live up to their mistakes. I said, we live in a society where we blame everyone. If you don't do well in school, you blame your teacher. If you have problems in life, you blame your family, your parents, your upbringing. Talked about what's going on in Washington or Baltimore and what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. And I said, people are committing all these atrocities and crimes and blaming police for shooting an innocent man. Perhaps if that officer did something wrong, it was wrong. But we don't have the excuse to go out and shoot and kill and loot stores because we're upset with someone else's behavior. But you ask yourself, who is speaking out in support of what Bruce Jenner is about to do? And it's the gay lesbian groups, the liberal media. And believe it or not, there is a group called the National Center for Transgender Equality. National Center for Transgender Equality. Let me just point out to you right now, the more vile and disturbing the sin, the more people are going to come out and speaking in support of it. But when we stand on the principles of God's word, we're labeled hateful. We're labeled bigoted or old-fashioned or judgmental or despicable. People hate us for that. And that's nothing new. And I know that the world, if they were to hear this, or people in the world, there might be some of you who don't like what I'm saying this morning. That's okay. Because I believe that Christians are often so shell-shocked by what we see happening in the world, we just don't know what to say. So without having any idea of how to respond in a gracious way, we respond the first thing that comes to our mind, and that's anger. We know that it's wrong. We know that the sin is there, but we don't know how to say it in a loving way. We do need to understand that sin is a personal choice, and if Bruce Jenner was sitting right here this morning dressed either as the old Bruce or dressed like Caitlyn Jenner, we could say it's a sin. And it's his own personal choice to do what he wants to do. I can't judge him. I can't tell him he's going to go to hell for what he's done. But I do want to say that promoting this lifestyle as a viable alternative is wrong. It's wrong for our media to do it, and it's wrong for our churches to accept that. One of my responses that I got on my post on Facebook that I was going to be speaking about this Sunday was a girl from my last church up in Corning. And I asked the question, I said, how is the church to respond? How would Christ respond? And she wrote to me and she said that God loves Ms. M.S. Jenner and so should we. And I waited till the next day to respond to that. And she finally responded back to me this morning. I responded to her on Tuesday and I said, listen, Jackie, I said, I had to wait for a day because I want you to understand, I don't want to come across harsh, but if you said that God loved Bruce Jenner, I would agree with that, but calling him Ms. was absolutely wrong. I said, no matter how many surgeries he had, no matter how much makeup he wears, no matter how many skimpy outfits he dresses in, he will always be what God designed him to be. He's always going to be a male. She responded back to this morning and said, I agree, I'm sorry, I didn't come across that way. But the world is telling us that Bruce Jenner has changed who he is, has changed not only his appearance, but what and who he is. I want to tell you that God, only God, can change the heart. And that's what I want us to get this morning is we need to pray that God will change Bruce Jenner's heart, that God will change him from within. We can look and you can write this verse down. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know this passage. 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 to 5, it says, love is patient, love is kind, is not jealous. Love does not brag, is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, it's not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. We could read that verse and we could say very confidently that people who choose this lifestyle are not loving like this. They are self-absorbed. They do act unbecomingly based on the word of God. And while the Bible does not come out and say transitioning or transgendering is a sin, we look at scripture and we look at this passage and we ask, is it helpful? Is it appropriate? Is it right? Is it addressed in what other passages in the Bible say? There was a quote I found this week by a man named, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, but Robert Gagnon, G-A-G-N-O-N. He's a professor of New Testament at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. He's considered an expert on the field of the Bible and homosexuality. And he said this, "The writers of Scripture viewed any attempts at overriding one's birth sex as abhorrent, a sacrilege against the structures of maleness or femaleness created by God, and ultimately a rebellion against the Creator who made our bodies." The passage I have in your notes there in the middle of your handout is Deuteronomy 22:5. A woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor shall a man put on woman's clothing, for whatever or whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. I think it's absolutely clear that there's no mistaking what God's word has to say. But let me just say this to you. If we're disturbed by what we see going on, and someone said just the other day on, and I'm not sure whether they were in support of Bruce Jenner or not, or this lifestyle, but they just said that, is it LGT, something, whatever, the lesbian, gay, transgender community, whatever that label is, they said they have done so much to impact America within the last 5 years that things that are accepted today would not have even been considered 7, 8, 10 years ago. But this movement now is considered to have so much power. And I ask myself, if we're surprised by this gay lesbian thing, we need to ask ourselves, if we redefine marriage, if we redefine the family, if we redefine parenting, if we redefine the value of life, why should we be surprised that the world is redefining what sex is, what the genders are? There's something that God desires in our lives, and it's far different from transitioning. Transitioning, as I said, has to do about me. What God wants to do is all about God. Romans chapter 12 is the passage that we would look at for this. And it says this, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world," which is what transitioning is, "but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And I want you to understand what transformed is. I didn't have a picture of Bruce Jenner, but I want you to understand what transformation is. One of the things that we like to do is we have a bunch of, milkweed, is that what it is? The plant where the butterflies grow. And every year, Cheryl goes out and she looks for the larva. And we usually do 7 to 10 or 12 butterflies sometimes a year, and we'll get it in, and she'll find the little larva, and then it develops into a small little caterpillar, and then she puts the milkweed in, and this thing goes within like 4 or 5 days from this little microscopic little worm to this huge, fat caterpillar. And then we watch as that caterpillar crawls up to the top, and it turns like into a J, and then overnight it turns into a beautiful chrysalis with gold specks around it, and then we watch it open, and a butterfly comes out 10 or 12 days later. That's what transformation is. My kids had a tape growing up. I don't know if we even had it around for Paige, but my boys, and it was the song called "There's Been a Metamorphosis," and it was a butterfly scene. It was a really corny song. Matter of fact, I found it on YouTube. I was going to play it, but it's a little too corny for church. But it says, "There's been a metamorphosis. I'm not the same person I was. It's plain, very plain to see. I'm a brand new me. There's been a metamorphosis." And that's what transformation is. God changes not just our appearance. God changes who we are. God changes our heart. John Piper said this, "In the Bible, transformation means change in a life that no longer conforms to the ways of the world, to one that pleases God. That is accomplished by the renewing of our minds, a spiritual transformation that will manifest itself in outward actions. The Bible presents the transformed life in Christ as demonstrated through our bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Transformation involves those who were once far from God being drawn near to Him through the blood of Christ." See, the evidence of transformation is seen as we become more like Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory." Romans 8, 9 says, "You who are controlled by the sinful nature, or you are controlled by the sinful nature, not by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." See, the image of God lets us reflect Christ in our lives. Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live by the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." See, the transformed life begins with faith. It begins with acknowledging our sinfulness, our need of a Savior, and trusting in him for eternal life. Romans 8, 13 and 14 says, "If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God." There's a huge difference between transitioning and being transformed. Let's look at the difference here. Let's look at those things that are, again, they're in your notes, and you probably have already filled in some of these. In transforming, it's God who does the work in us. God's desire is to accomplish his perfect will in our lives. It has nothing to do with you and I. The only thing we do is we put our trust in Christ for salvation, and then he begins this transforming work in our hearts. God does the work in us. God makes us what he wants us to be. We're given the fruit of the Spirit. If you were looking at Galatians chapter 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But if we were left to our own strength, you can go back a few verses before that and look at verses 16 to 21. It says, "If you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the Spirit sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for they are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are under the Spirit, you are not led by the law." And he goes on and he talks about, he says, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, fractions, all kinds of things that the Bible says are wrong if we walk in the flesh. But if we come to Christ and we trust him, this is what God does to change us. In transforming or transitioning, happiness is our goal. In transforming, holiness is the goal. Happiness is not the key at all. Matter of fact, we're told in 1 Peter 1, verses 15 to 16, "Be holy as I am holy." God doesn't promise us happiness in life. That may be part of life. It may not be. But he promises to give us joy. Next, it's the reworking, of the spiritual man. As I said, Bruce Jenner has spent a huge amount of money to change his body from a male gold medal winning Olympic athlete to a woman. And his appearance is drastically different. But his heart needs still to be changed. And as I thought about that, as we look at Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, and we see this complete transition from a man to a woman. I mean, his face is completely different. Obviously, he has body parts that he didn't before. And the world says, look at the change. We look at it and we say, nothing has changed from the within. But as the world would look at him and say, man, what a drastic change. That's what I want the world to say about me. And I hope it says about each one of us here at Draper Baptist Church. Man, they're not the same person they were 4 years ago or even a year ago, that they are growing in their walk with Christ. They're being more holy. They're becoming more like Christ. Allow God to change you through his grace. God's desire is for us to honor him. How do we bring honor to Christ? We live according to his word. We obey Christ. We put our daily lives and actions, behaviors, thoughts brought under this under the authority of the word of God. And by calling the things that God calls abominable and sin, we call it abominable and sin. That's how we bring honor to the Lord. We should not be brought up or get caught up into this whole mindset, well, maybe we shouldn't be judgmental. Maybe we should. It is Bruce Jenner's choice. It is those people's choice to live the way they want, and it is. But we cannot allow them to stand up and say it's right, it's wrong, it's okay for anyone to do it. Then you're wrong if you're a Christian and you don't agree. We need to stand up on the principles of God's word and honor him. And then the final one is, as God desires us to affect the world, whereas transitioning says it's all about me, it's just about me, it affects no one but me. God wants us to change the world because our lives have nothing to do with us. We're to live our lives in a way that points others to this author and perfecter of faith, this one who is the designer of life, the one who created Bruce Jenner the way he created Bruce Jenner, the way he's created us. Now, there's some similarities, I guess, that would be between transitioning and transforming. They're both new creations. Again, I'm sure if Bruce Jenner's mom was sitting between Bruce Jenner that she gave birth to and this one that he's developed, she wouldn't recognize him. He's a new person, a new creation. And that's what the Bible says about us. God has taken our heart. He's turned us into a new creation. But the difference between being transformed into a new person and transitioning into a new person is the heart is not affected. The person that Bruce Jenner was, he still is. He has not touched that. Now, having said all of this, we need to understand that God loves us the way he designed us. It brings him happiness for us to be male and female. It brings pleasure to him and his creative power when we live the way we're to live. And anything that seeks to confuse the difference between those two is sin. And we need to call it sin. When anyone looks to cross the line and wipe out the distinction that Bruce Jenner is trying to wipe out and say, yes, I'm just becoming a happy person. I'm changing who I was to who I want to be. They don't need to hear from people that it's great. That's great, Bruce. You deserve to be happy. We support your choice in everything you do. What they need to hear is when you choose to do this, you're questioning God's design. You're calling God, his perfect design, a mistake. And he does not make mistakes. I haven't read the interview, but I've heard a lot of people who've quoted it and tried to watch a little bit more this week than what I normally would about this story. But Bruce Jenner's son from one of his earlier marriages, I think he's been married four times, one of his older sons, I guess he's like in his 30s or 40s, what he said of this, and I want you to understand this, he said, I hope that Caitlin is a better person than Bruce was. I hope that Caitlin is a better person than Bruce was. The world needs to hear exactly what we've heard this morning, that changing the appearance does not change the person. Changing the appearance does not change the heart. Only Christ can do that through transforming us. Can we share this message of hope of Christ in a loving way? I trust that we can. I trust that I have. Because if all we do is stand up and say, God hates sin, God hates homosexuality, God hates abortion, God hates all this, we would be right, but we would lose our audience. We would have not earned the right to go any further in a conversation like that. God loves the sinner. God hates the sin. We must hate the sin as well, but not disrespect or hate the sinner. God will use loving Christians, I believe, to change the world in his name. And he will use us as we allow him to transform our lives. I looked at the time, and what I wanted to do this morning is spend a few moments praying for not just Bruce Jenner, but his family. Praying for people who are facing this choice. I don't know if you've heard anything about what he did. I think he just had the surgery last week. And again, I have no idea how far he went. But they said the moment that Bruce Jenner came out of surgery, when he woke up, he went into this magnified panic attack, questioning, what did I just do? And they brought in a counselor, a therapist, to say to him, it's okay, Bruce. Everyone who chooses to do this surgery, they face the same dilemma. They question whether what they've done is right or wrong. Well, a therapist needs to say, what you chose to do is wrong. And you're going to be paying the consequences for that. But I want you to hear this. They say somewhere between 40 and 50% of people who choose this surgery attempt suicide within 5 to 10 years. Let's pray as a church and as a body for Bruce's heart to be changed. Let's pray. Lord, I trust that we handled this subject that maybe churches all across the country have decided they're going to do this morning because of the news, but I trust that we handled it in a way that we know God's word, we know what your word says about it, but that we're also loving. Lord, we're about to come to communion and realize that your son's death was for the entire world. It wasn't just for me. It wasn't just for people like us. It was for people of the transgender and lesbian and gay community. It's for Muslims. It's for people in ISIS. It's for our enemies around the world who right now hate you. Jesus died for each of them. Lord, help us to love the sinner without putting up with the sin. Lord, I pray that we would allow you to transform our lives, to change not only our hearts, but change our behavior, change our attitudes, change our love to make it more like Christ's. And Lord, I do pray right now for Bruce Jenner and all the Kardashian family. Lord, it's easy to roll our eyes at people like that and even hate them and just think if they lived in reality like they do in a reality show, they would understand the world doesn't revolve around them. And the world doesn't, or that you don't want them just to be happy. Lord, and that's what we see people all around us pursuing, just happiness and just having that next thing. Lord, help us to share with them Christ and let you transform our lives so you can do the work of transformation in lives through us. We pray, Lord, as we come to the communion table, that your son will be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask the men to meet me in the front. As these elements are passed, just ask you to prepare your heart, to ask the Lord to cleanse you. If there's something that you know is known sin, the Bible says if you take the communion table in an unworthy manner, you're bringing damnation on your heart. And that's not just talking about being an unbeliever. I believe if we have known sin in our lives, we just take haphazardly, that we're disowning the name of Christ. So as these elements are passed, just bow before the Lord, and we'll take it together at the end. But I'm going to ask Bill Preset if he'd ask the blessing on the bread.
Dear Father, Lord, we thank you. We can come into your presence because of what Jesus did for us. He paid the full price. Father, for you are the ultimate judge, and we are as filthy rags before you, Father. Lord, we humble ourselves, and we come to you through the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift that you've given us. Lord, that we can receive from your mighty hand. We just thank you in Jesus' precious name.
As we take this together today, we're looking back to his death on our behalf, his dying in our place. We're also looking ahead to his return, which we've just finished that up last week, the end times. He could be coming back this week. Let's take it together. I'm going to ask the men to stand and ask Kelly if you'd ask the blessing on the cup.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come before you at this community service, Lord. Think about the grape juice, Lord, and how it represents your blood, Lord. Help us to never forget the price that you paid for our sin debt, Lord. We just thank you for that. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we hold this, very grateful for a Savior who died for us, who shed his blood. But as I was just sitting there just thinking about the song we sang before the message, is my chains are gone. That's what we need to pray for the world. We need to pray for Bruce Jenner, that their chains will be loosed. We won't be blinded by Satan, but the blood of Christ would prevail in their hearts. Let's take it together. And Russ is going to come and lead us in our closing song.
Let's all stand, please. We'll sing one verse of Softly and Tenderly. Calling for you and for me. on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, sinner, come home. Oh, we want Caitlin and Evelyn to go out first, so we can shake the graduate's hand, and also then come back to get your quilt, Caitlin. Okay, but thanks for everybody being here. Go downstairs, have joy of some refreshments, some time of fellowship, congratulate the graduate, and come back for Sunday School at 11. You're dismissed.